And I present to you Brother Joe Gilmore from San Jose, California.
My subject has been assigned to me is a slogan. Speak where the Bible speaks. You're silent where the Bible is silent. And we have a subject. It is the silence of the Bible. I haven't always been a member of the Church of Christ. I started worshiping in the largest church in America that teaches Jew baptism. Now, if you want to know what church that is, you see me afterwards, and I'll tell you what church it was that I was a member of, the largest church in America that teaches Jew baptism. Well, I was a member of it. And so my mother was likewise a member of it. Brother J.D. Bowen was in a meeting in Allen, Oklahoma. My mother went over to hear it. She never came back. She obeyed the gospel. And I was still in that church that I'm talking about. So finally, I went over to try to bring my mother back. And she cheated. She'd invite men like C.R. Nichol, Joe Blue, home for lunch. Brother Nichol would make me so angry. He'd say, "Now look at here, sonny." I was about ready to throw Brother Nichol out of our house. Brother, my dad came and said, "Son, who owns this house?" In other words, you don't. Now you stay quiet and you listen. Your mother invited the man here. You listen. And so they'd have me to take my finger, put under the passage, read it for myself. And then they just burned me up. Say, "Sonny, was it so?" Well, I was headed that Sunday. But the more they say, "Put your finger under the passage and read the passage itself," then I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I have not always been a member of the Church of Christ. I intended to be a preacher in the church where I was. But I found that it did not stay to the Scriptures. I want what the Bible teaches. So they operated on the silence of the Bible. So this slogan has come up through the years, "Speak where the Bible speaks. Be silent where the Bible is silent." That is a good motto. You can't find a better slogan than that. You will be right to stay with it. Speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. But for years, denominational preachers have tried to prove the use of instrumental music in Christian worship by the word solo, which means to pluck, pull, twang. Now, my wife would like to pull my hair every now and then. She sees something needs to be pulled out. She plucks, twitches, twangs my hair every now and then. Occasionally gets me with the ear. So she likes that twanging business. But the denominations who have used the Greek word solo to try to prove instrumental music in the house of God, they now have abandoned that. Very few men will try to debate the instrumental music part of worship today. It's hard to find a preacher who believes mechanical instruments and music to be used in worship. Find one who would offend that practice today. They gave up the sugar stick. They gave up the main argument, the word solo. Verbs do not inherit the object. Not inherent within the verb, the object. The object has to be stated on the outside of the verb. For example, baptize, The element does not inhere in the word baptize. So a verb does not give its object. The object has to be stated on the outside. You can be baptized in tar, be baptized in buttermilk. You can be baptized in grief. I have been baptized in debt I don't know how many times. But that isn't scriptural baptism. The element has to be stated on the outside. Now, what is the element? Acts 8 chapter, the eunuch and Philip there came this certain water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. The eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The man in the chariot stand still. They went down both in the water, but Philip and the eunuch did baptize him. And they were come up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord brought away Philip, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. So the element has to be stated on the outside of the verb. It is not inherent. For then the word solid, baptize. The element does not inherit. So the solid, the instrument has to be stated on the outside. Now, what is the instrument? Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, what is the instrument that we pluck, that we twang, that we put into motion? It is the heart, not the H-A-R-P, heart. But it is the heart. There is the instrument. Now, where do we get religious authority? We get religious authority in three ways. First, by direct command. Second, by an example where that command has been used. Thirdly, by necessary inference. Now, that's the way we get authority. You're looking at authority today. Then you're going to have to look for commands, for examples, necessary inference. My friend is long gone to his reward, Brother George Dehoff. He had a denominational preacher to come into his bookstore, and the man said, well, I don't know really what I want. He said, suggest some books for me to buy to read. Well, there was just a book off the press on authority. How do we get authority? By commands, by examples, and by necessary inference. George said, here's a good book, so take this one along. So the man did. A few days later, George gets it back in the mail. The man says to George in the letter, says, please return my money. I returned your book. I have no earthly need for this book. In other words, I can't use it. Why? Well, he wanted authority from some other way. He didn't want Bible authority. He didn't want a command for authority. He didn't want an example. He didn't want the necessary inference. So he wanted to be left alone, to make his own rules, to be governed thereby. So he returned the book, wanted his money returned. Now, for a few moments, I want to take up a slogan that is a good one. We have used it a number of years. Speak, for the Bible speaks, and be silent, for the Bible is silent. That's a good one. Yet, of late, there are many preachers that want to change that rule. Speak, for the Bible speaks, and where the Bible is silent, we may act. We may speak. Now, this gets people in trouble. Why? What's wrong with it? May I suggest to you that it opens the floodgate for every innovation known to mankind. Now here is Mr. Catholic. He could take that same road, speak where the Bible speaks and where the Bible is silent, we may act. Well, the Bible is silent about burning incense. The Bible is silent about counting beads, the rosary. So the Catholic Church could use that illustration, use this slogan as some use it today, where the Bible is silent, we may act. So where would you stop? It opens a floodgate for every innovation known to man. I preach in California for a group of senior citizens for the most part. Congregation is made up mostly of senior citizens. On Sunday evening, they shoot the moon. Now, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. They shoot the moon. That's a domino game. And as soon as service is over, some of these senior citizens, they head out to somebody's house. Occasionally they bang back late. I've never seen them get this worked up in singing. I've never seen them get this worked up in hearing one of my sermons. But they ready to get worked up. Shoot the moon. It's a domino game. If you can make all 7 points, that's 21, say shoot the moon, you won the game. Well, you can bet at least, I think, about 3. I've forgotten rules. They make them up all the time. They're always different. Not any one thing. They get excited. Get excited. And you just can't believe how excited they can get. Well, if they get that excited, how about just bring them in the church building? Let's shoot the moon. Shoot the moon. Well, you can shoot the moon, play domino, church service just as good as you can some of these other things that people do in religion. I'd just soon shoot the moon to count beans. I'd just soon shoot the moon as to burn incense. They're not there. And so if you just let down the floodgate, then how many innovations are you going to have? Baptizing babies. Baptizing babies. And people say, well, what's wrong in putting babies in water? Not a thing. Not a thing. I see nothing wrong with putting a baby in water. Well, how about putting a baby underwater? I've seen mothers right quickly put the old baby underwater, up quickly. I see nothing wrong in putting babies in water and just about submerging the entire body. I have no objection. Now, if you people want to do that, that's up to you. I think babies need to be washed. They need to be clean. But on the other hand, when you determine baptizing infants, then you have let down the floodgate. You have ignored Bible teaching. Now, in Luke, the 18th chapter, in verse 15, it is said of Jesus, they brought children unto him, brought infants unto him, that he might touch them, or that he would touch them. I'm not against touching babies. There are a lot of babies I'd like to touch, especially those that misbehave in service. There's some of them, when I'm trying to preach, I'd like to touch, but I can't touch them. Well, if you want to touch the babies, I have no objection. But you go to baptize a baby as a religious rite, and I object. I object. You have gone too far. You have violated Scripture. You have done that which God of heaven has not set for you to do. Dire consequences will be in store. Well, what else is wrong with this position? Where the Bible is silent, we may speak for ourselves. That will bring various acts of worship into religious practice. And they're not scriptural. They cannot be of faith. Thus, to act upon the principle in the wrong way is to bring in those practices that would be wrong. Now let us look at Romans 14, verse 23. Let's all turn to Romans 14 and verse 23. And we can see what we are talking about at this point. Romans 14th chapter and verse 23. What does it say? You have time to turn to it. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now what do we read? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But to go wrong on the principle is to bring in the acts of worship that are not of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Then in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, so while we're looking at our Bibles, let's just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 that we may see the thing we're talking about here. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Here we are told that we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Therefore, to act upon the principle where the Bible is silent, we may act for ourselves, would go against these scriptures. Because what you do cannot be of faith. Now, why quote Romans 14, 23? Why quote 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7? Why look at Hebrews 11 and verse 6? I would need to get Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can you read the practice of instrumental music in the house of God in the Bible? No. Where did it come from? The Roman Catholic priest, Pope the Ten, brought it into religious worship. It had to be taken out. The Church of the Lord existed over 600 years before an instrument was music was introduced in worship. It came from Roman Catholicism. It did not come from the Bible. It did not come from Christ. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Now watch. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Without faith is impossible to please Him. Then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Then many practices will be brought into religious services that cannot be of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Where will we stop? Where will we stop? If people act upon the principle and the silence of the Bible, where the Bible is silent, we may speak. The Bible is silent, we may act. Again, it will make the worship vain. If you ignore the silence of the Bible and start speaking for yourself, where the Bible did not speak, you may speak. You may act in the silence of the Bible and decide for yourself what you will do religiously. If you will do that, it will make your worship vain. There isn't anything wrong with washing of hands. I like all the cooks at these potlucks to wash all their hands. I don't know why, but I like them to wash their hands. So I'm very much for this hand washing affair. I believe in being clean. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not the Bible, but it's still a pretty good principle. In other words, I like to see clean people. I don't know anybody that take the position that washing hands is wrong. We practice at my house. My wife's always telling me when I come in from working in the yard, wash my hands. And our granddaughter, for years, we have taught her, wash your hands. Nothing wrong with it. Right within itself. But to turn the washing of hands into a religious rite. Wrong. Make a religious act out of the washing of hands is just as wrong as can be. Why? The Lord's talking about washing of hands, cleanliness, right to do so. When they made a religious rite out of it, Jesus says in Matthew 15, verse 9, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So men's precepts can make your worship vain. And what I want to do in religion is just as good as what you want to do. And if I went by human precepts, where would we stop? I might want this, you might want that. One man might think that his smell is better than somebody else's here. Someone else might think that his taste is better than somebody else's taste. He doesn't like fruit of that is grape juice. And he likes orange juice. Where would you stop? Where would you stop? So you would just have every kind of a thing in worship today. Hence, the precepts of men will make the worship vain. I say, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. Then again, instrumental music is not found in the Scripture. You'll have to bring it in. Go to the Old Testament. Go back to Judaism. Not found in New Testament Scripture. So there are many people that want to bring it in. There are two kinds of music. Vocal, instrumental. God picked one. He picked vocal. Singing, making melody in the heart to the Lord. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. God picked singing. He picked vocal music. Now, to act upon the principle where the Bible is silent, you may act for yourself. You may speak. That ignores God's law of exclusion. You say you never heard about that law. Well, may I inform you what that law is about? In the Old Testament, we see God's law of exclusion. God told Noah to build an ark. Noah did so. He followed the instruction of the Lord of God to build an ark. God specified a certain wood. Only one wood would be used. Gopher wood. I like to preach on gopher wood. It shows God's law of exclusion. Gopher wood. Now, suppose that Noah had used fir, pine, spruce, hemlock, cottonwood, cedar. What do you think would happen to that ark? I seriously doubt if that ark would have floated. But on the other hand, I don't know that. I don't know whether God would let the ark float or not, but I know one thing. Noah would have been in disobedience to God. So whether the ark would have floated, whether it would have gone down, I don't know. But he would have violated what God said, and that would be wrong. God's law of exclusion. God said, go for wood. Then we come to baptism. There are thousands of people that want to baptize babies today. And that little baby don't want to be baptized. It kicks and it squalls and cries. I've seen them. And I've watched. That baby was a fit subject of baptism. I read the Bible where people were baptized. They went on their way rejoicing. But I noticed these little babies, when they're baptized, they didn't rejoice. They cried and screamed and they kicked. The Bible teaches a believer's baptism. Jesus says in Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now isn't that simple? He that believeth, though children are not subjects of baptism. They're not proper subjects of baptism. The idea of baptizing babies cannot be found in the pages of God's book. Little children are born pure, saved. Jesus said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. Saved. There's a difference between safe and saved. Suppose I'm holding my knife in my hand and I walk out the building and I drop it, some weeds. I can't find it. I tell you people, my wife gave me that knife and I don't want to lose it. Help me find it. You understand it's lost. It's lost. But then when it's lost, it needs saved. A little baby is born pure. Born pure. Saved. But when it sins, it needs to be washed. It needs to be baptized. It needs to have faith and repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. The Bible teaches a believer's baptism. Baptizing babies is a wrong practice. It violates the principle of a believer's baptism. Then coming to the Lord's Supper, here it is. The Lord already. The Lord has placed bread and the fruit of the vine, the blood of the grape. Now, let's get this principle where the Bible is silent, we can act for ourselves. Someone says, well, I don't like grape juice, I want orange juice. Somebody says, I don't like bread, unleavened bread especially, and I'm going to do this or that. I want some beans, I want some meat on the Lord's table. Well, can you put beans? Can you put meat? Can you change and put the fruit of the orange? Can you put it? No, the Bible teaches the fruit of the vine, the blood of the grape, the blood of the grape. And that's element. And bread. Someone says, well, I don't like my taste as this. My taste is just as important as your hearing, and my smelling is just as important as your hearing. Now, where would we stop? We have to walk by faith, not by sight. Then when it comes to music, God picked one. It is singing. And that automatically excludes playing a mechanical instrument of music in the house of God. So people who act upon the principle where the Bible is silent, we may act, you ignore God's law of exclusion. You say you never heard of that law. Let me give it to you. Go back to Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, in verse 2. There you'll find that law. In other words, you shall add the words which I command you, neither shall you do many short things. That's God's law of exclusion. Don't you add to it. Don't you do anything with it. What I say, what I specify, is what you have. Again, we look at other principles. 2 John verse 9, whosoever transgresses, abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. Now, isn't that a terrible thing, don't have God? A young man was in my office recently. His father is a preacher in some church. We got to discussing baptism, instrumental music. And then I asked for scripture. He had none to prove his points. And we got on to this, 2 John 9. Whosoever transgresses, abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. That's God's law of exclusion. Young man said, Joe, can I use your telephone? I'll pay for the bill. Said, my father lives in New Jersey, and he's a preacher in a certain church. And I won't call him. All right, here's the phone. Go right ahead. I'll get out of the room. No, Joe, I want you to stand here. My dad may ask me a question, and I may have to hand the phone back to you. So my dad's a preacher. So the young man got on the phone, and he said, Dad, you believe in sprinkling babies. There's no authority. Dad, you believe in instrumental music in the house of God. The Church of the Lord existed over 600 years in Roman Catholicism, put in music in what they call the house of God. He said, Dad, I hate to tell you this, but I want to tell you. In just a few moments, I am going to be baptized in water for the remission of my sins. I'm going to be buried like Romans 6:4 teaches. Like Colossians 2:12 teaches. I'm going to be baptized for the remission of my sins, like Acts 2:38 teaches. Dad, I want to tell you, you have not God. And the father was adamant. He didn't like what his son was telling him. And he said, Dad, let me quote you a scripture I've never heard you quote. You've never preached this scripture. I've never heard it in the church where I went to church. Whosoever transgresses, that means to go beyond. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Father, you have no authority for baptizing babies. Father, you have no authority for mechanical instruments of music in the house of the Lord. Father, you have not God. He hung up on his father. He said, I'm ready to be baptized. I baptize him into Christ. For the remission of sins, as Acts 2:38 says. Now, Raymond says, I have to shut down. But let's quickly give you another point. I want to use a lot of the arguments, even though that people say they can't find authority for instruments of music in the house of God. Then immediately, they try to tell you what's right. Quote a number of scriptures, like 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verses 7, 8, and 9. All Paul's doing in those verses is just telling people that you need to speak words to be understood and use some outside illustrations. And I'd like to talk about Acts 15, 28, and 29. I'd like to talk about Revelation 14 and verse 2, but I'm not going to get time. But I want to close with this. Speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. That's a safe route. But speak where the Bible speaks. Where the Bible is silent, you may act. I want to show you that in the past that God has punished the people who practiced that kind of a thing. God told Moses to speak to the rock to bring forth water. Now there was a time when Moses struck the rock, but God told him to. But this time, in Numbers the 20th chapter, God told Moses to speak to the rock. Well, Moses thought, I've struck it before, got water. And in his little anger with the people, he took his rod and he struck the rock. Well, the rock gave forth water. But God would not let Moses lead the children of Israel in the promised land because he disobeyed. So God punished the practice of that principle. Where the Bible is silent, we may speak. Where the Bible is silent, we may ask. And one more. That is in 1 Samuel chapter 15. When Saul was to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. He saved Agag, brought back the best of the flock, brought back the best of the sheep. And he returned to God, returned to Samuel, rejoice with me, I've done the bidding of the Lord. First time that an old cow bawled. First time that an old cow bawled. It's like saying, Saul, Saul, you disobeyed God. But what did Samuel say? Mowing the sheep, the bleeding the oxen, which I hear in mine ear. In other words, some old cowboy. Sheep bleated. And that was Saul, 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 you disobeyed God. Samuel said, obedience, obedience. Obedience is the thing. So obedience, there's nothing to take the place of it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Saul wanted to sacrifice. Samuel preached obedience is better than sacrifice. So Saul rejected what God said. God rejected him from being king. So I wish I had time to talk more of the arguments that people make, even though admitting that instrumental music cannot be proved with the Bible. Still, they use specious arguments to try to prove that it is right by the Bible. And each time, they visibly fail.